Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. What is happening, people? We are back, shorthanded again. And Zach, you know, do you think you need a massage for your back? Do you need to see a chiropractor?
I honestly feel like Cal Ripken, you know, not just doing this day in, day out, week in, week out. Like, I need to schedule something on my calendar so I can miss one. I feel like my back is definitely sore. So if you can recommend any chiropractors, please let me know.
Yeah, for sure. I think I might know one, especially in the Somerset area. I think my mother has worked for the same one since before my older brother was born. So that's where I go.
For carrying the podcast when before I was around.
Hey, no, before you were around, we were here every week unless there was like a holiday. So
I think you nabbed me at a good time.
now that you're the expendable one, I think it's just a fair fight for whoever wants that week off.
Yeah, I was gonna say I need to schedule some PTO with you guys.
Hey, but
have I earned any PTO time? I'm not even in the name of the podcast yet officially.
I think on like some areas I changed the bio to that, so you're like halfway there.
That works for me.
Well, I was able to get more softball in over the weekend.
Oh, let's hear about this.
So the infield is hard as a rock back to back weeks, and in the first game that we had, which we were the later games again, like around 3:30, playing shortstop yet again, because, you know, I'm the replacement for, I would say, our star player, who's like early 40 years old. Like, this dude is jacked, but he really messed up his wrist helping out his son's on his dirt bike.
Wow.
So I've been filling in his role at shortstop, and he's been there, you know, hanging out, drinking a few beers with us, just having a grand old time not playing. I think people have more fun hanging out not playing than they do actually playing there.
Was legit gonna ask you that question.
But the very first ground ball that was hit to me, and it was a harder hit ball, when I saw it hit the first bounce, I lost track of it. And then, so I just kind of got into a position, and it went straight off my left shin. But I was able to pick it up and throw the guy out at second because the runner on first had terrible base running. So the fielding was a lot better than last week, for sure, by far. I still have a little bit of a small bump on my left ankle, but whenever I went back into that dugout, I put a beer on it and I couldn't feel that spot.
Any remnants of it, black and blue, bruise, anything like that?
Little black and blue, that's all. I want to say like the little red marks on it was the threads of the ball, but whatever. I would imagine this is what you go through when it comes to taking a puck off. Well, mine was bare skin because I'm wearing shorts, but you guys have like either like a sock or a jersey on, but you're still taking that galvanized rubber pretty hard off the body. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can tell you there are every time, at least for me, and maybe Jeff can attest to this, every time it seems like it gets under some place where there's just no padding. So like you think you're fine. At the time it happens, it doesn't really hurt that much. But then you get to the bench and you're laboring, or you wake up the next day and you're like, good Lord. But like I said, I can speak on my behalf. Every time it never seems to actually hit the padding that you do have.
So, yeah, so, I mean, that was kind of my way of thinking, oh, man, this is what hockey players go through all the time. I just lost track of a ball one time at shortstop and just kind of – I just didn't want my midsection to be hit. That's all.
Completely understandable.
Yeah, so
– How'd you do at the dish?
I did better. I did better at the dish. Was able to finally get my first yabo of the year in the – second game. It was a solo shot. So
how are you?
But the thing, I don't know if you've ever done this in baseball growing up or softball as you got older, but Have you ever had a no doubter?
Bro, I was Clint Barmas. Like, I was the locker room guy, and anything that I hit was a ground ball to short. I think I may have squared one up in my entire life, and it was where we played high school ball. It was, imagine left field, like Fenway Park. So just because you tattooed it, it was going to hit a fence, and it didn't go out because you needed to clear that monster fence. So, and with me, I think it was a double, a standing double. So shouts to me, but
at least you're standing.
I'm not a no doubter kind of guy.
but that's what this one was. It was like towards left center, and I know once I got all of it, I just did a small little bat flip and just jogged. You don't even like when you don't even have to run after hitting the ball. It's a very great feeling.
I'm very glad that you bat flipped, because to be honest with you, I wasn't good enough in high school baseball to. If I did it with ground outs, I mean, I could have pimped a lot. But like, you know, if you hit a no doubt shot, like, you absolutely deserved a bat flip. So I'm very glad that you had that opportunity.
Well, and thank you. But yeah, we won both games. First game we had to put up some runs in the bottom of the sixth and put them down in the seventh. And then next game we run rolled them 19-1. So
ooh.
But no, this is probably one of the most fun teams I've played, just because they were loud and rambunctious like us, and just out there having a fun time, win or lose. So, but I mean, how was your past week?
Well, okay, so before I want to talk about you more real quick. I guess the burning question, because we talked about your offensive skills, we talked about the defense. What was the alcohol intake like?
All right, so last. Last week, because of the nights before, I did not have any during the games, and I struggled on the field. I mean, it's the first game of the year, first two games, and getting the rust off. But this past weekend, I would say I was a little bit better going leading into Sunday. But I was actually having a couple beers throughout the games, and I think I played a little bit better while drinking. So, I mean, there's the answer.
No, that's what I love to hear. I think drinking makes everyone do better things, aside from texting. But yeah, and definitely driving.
Driving.
Yes. Glad we touched on that. But yeah, no, that was a burning question I had. Obviously, with it being beer league softball, I could not ask that question.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and then for you, I mean, you've had to have been doing something. I mean, the world's slowly opening up.
I literally, man, it's been all work, little play. The little play that I have had just involved binge drinking on the back porch. Had a nice little get together on Father's Day. Did a little kind of cookout thing. Made some steaks. And by the way, just want to talk about this, a small little rant, but I mean, it's because of the pandemic. Two steaks cost like $30 nowadays. The price on steak and ground beef is literally insane. But, you know, got to treat the pops. So, you know, it was totally worth it. But, you know, I went to purchase those steaks and the eyes just got big. I was like, oh. But, yeah, we did a steak. We did some butter garlic shrimp, and some corn on the cob. And that was a nice time. We crushed some beers and talked about life. So, you know, typical Father's Day. And the next day, you know, on Sunday, well, we did our Father's Day dinner Saturday night. So on Sunday, I was helping him clean out the gutters. So that was dad time. So I feel like I was accomplished.
Well, there you, I mean, I feel like you guys always know how to put together the best meals.
Whatever gave you that indication, was it my Snapchat?
Usually it's for the last 3+ years. Yeah.
Let me do a shameless plug real quick to anyone that's listening. If you like food pictures and or alcohol pictures, please follow me on Snapchat. I'm always looking for interaction, engagement, more people. It is at ZJM1001. And by the way, I am not ashamed that I just gave my Snapchat out. So
we're almost at 1,000 days.
Are we really? Oh, and I love streaks too. So as Dave just mentioned. So
I love streaking as well, especially towards the quad with your green hat. So
TBT. All right. Well, I feel like that's a perfect time to transition.
Yeah, no, exactly. Streaking. It's a wonderful time to do that. No, I mean, it probably would have been better if we would have flip-flopped our last week interactions, because it would have ended with me playing softball, because we go over to the MLB And yesterday, around 8 o'clock, 8:30, the owners approved a season. And now it looks like with the players approving the like health and safety guidelines throughout the season, was that baseball is now officially back. The MLB finalizes the 2020 return and the sides agree to health protocols. And it looks like all the players will be reporting to training camps, according to MLBPA communications, with Rob Manfred saying Major League Baseball is thrilled to announce that the 2020 season is on the horizon. We have provided the Players Association with a schedule to play 60 games and are excited to provide our great fans with baseball again soon. End quote. Camps will open July 1st with 29 of the 30 teams staging camps at their home ballparks. And due to restrictions at the Canada-United States border, Toronto Blue Jays players will report to the team's minor league complex in Dunedin, Florida. So really, that's the only difference that we have. So now we're going to have three teams in Florida instead of just the normal two that are barely there. This will also be the MLB's shortest schedule since 1878. With the schedule that we have in place, each team will face its divisional opponents 40 times, plus another 20 interleague games against their geographical divisional counterparts. So every team in the East, AL East or NL East, is in their own division. So with the Pirates, they'll play everyone in the AL Central when they're not playing their own divisional games. And same thing with the West. The Braves will only play the East. So it's going to be very interesting with all the teams that do well in their own division to see how they play other opponents come playoff time. But Zach, let's kind of slow down here and just take a deep breath and just say that baseball is finally back. But how do we feel about this?
You know, I'm glad you at least brought up just the game itself is back. Like, I mean, here's the thing. We talked about all the bullshit and the drama, you know, it seems like for weeks, and it has been weeks. It's been months of the back and forth. But today, you know, just it truly feels great to say that at least you're going to see it this year. Albeit it feels a bit forced. I don't think, you know, players and owners are super thrilled about it. I believe once the season gets going, you'll see more excitement and it'll kind of feel like it's back even, you know, it for me, it's not going to feel authentically back just because of obviously the virus and the way things have transpired this off season and, you know, everything that's gone on. But just to have some semblance of, you know, just baseball on TV and just the game, just being able to tune in and whatnot. I'm excited. And I'm just, you know, I'm willing to spare all the politics now until the end of the season.
I'm excited the game is back. I'm excited that what North America and just mainly the United States of America considers one of the big four sports to be returning and what was the most logical of the four to return first. I'm excited for that because this is something that I get more of a vested interest in with just when the whole world was spinning correctly, that this is something that I would look forward to watch. If you gave me all four options to watch, I mean, it's almost getting up in the air between football and baseball, but most of the time, if you give me a Game 7 World Series or the Super Bowl, I'm probably going to pick that Game 7 World Series just because of how much I love the game itself there. So in that aspect, I'm really happy about. But I can also see this being the beginning of the end come after this season of 2020 when that CBA expires and they have to get a new deal done. That's the only thing that I'm kind of fearing here is that they are going to be at more at each other's throat come bargaining time when it comes to the new CBA. So far, I think my predictions have been correct of baseball will be played this year, but probably not next year. And I don't like to be right because of this, Zach.
I completely understand. I definitely think that, you know, though the game is going to be played this year, I definitely, it's not going to be played on good terms between both sides. Like I said, it almost feels forced. And I definitely think that we're headed for a very long labor dispute coming up. One that could definitely take not only next season, but I don't know. I the game needs a massive overhaul, or at least it'll be brought up. So, you know, I think we should enjoy this 60-game season that we're going to have, because I don't know when we will see it again.
So, I mean, well, 60-game season. Are you just talking about baseball in general? Or
correct.
Just that
correct.
Short of a season? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So let's get into kind of like the scheduling and the length of the season itself. So having four divisional opponents that aren't interleague, and you're divvying that up with between 40 games, you're going to play each opponent 10 times. And with the remaining 20 against those five, you know, math should say that you should have a 1-4-game series against each one of those opponents. So you're pretty much getting an even cut schedule when it comes to this 60-game schedule. I was trying to think of another word, but I just kind of blanked out there. How much different of an approach are managers going to have? Because now you're going to have first-year managers that can kind of just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. And you might have other managers that are kind of get stuck in the same way that they've done it before, and who we might think might thrive in a full season with a new team might struggle with how they usually manage. I'm thinking we're going to get a lot of surprises this year, but I wanted to see what your guess would be first.
Yeah, I think in regards to players, managers, everything, I don't think there's a set prediction you can do for this year. I think it's going to be a lot of experimentation. It's going to be a lot of right place, right time, or getting hot at the right time. I think, obviously, with such few games, the fewest since, what'd you say, like 1880, something like that?
1878.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah, but going off of that, I think that by playing the fewest games, you're going to have teams and that have no business competing, but they just had a good stretch for those amount of games, or at least a long portion of the season, which therefore goes hand in hand with managerial decisions and or player performances.
Yeah, I mean, so what I would really want to see is one of the absolute garbage teams, and it doesn't even have to be the Pirates, make a run at this for a division title. But it's going to be that much harder whenever you're combining both leagues at the same time. I mean, oh man, I was going to go to my phone app. Now I'm just going to have to pull up last year's standings on my computer. But I want to see a team like the Marlins or the Orioles or the Seattle Mariners like really make a run towards this and somehow just sneak in as a playoff team, because there's not going to be expanded playoffs.
Mm.
And as I look it up, unless you want to look it up, no, when you have five teams representing each league, now you're having all the teams combined into one, or you have divisions combining this year, so you have 10 teams in each division. I'm wondering how they're going to do the playoffs. There's no expanded playoffs, so there's still going to be the five of what I imagine to make it in each league. I'm just wondering how they're going to sort this out, unless they're just going to combine everyone into like one playoff format.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Let's see.
I mean, my guess would be that they're just going to take everyone into one and just kind of seed them the way they finished the 60-game campaign. I mean, unless you know of anything else that they could be doing.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for it, but I think what you're saying sounds right, because I haven't really found anything. So that seems like the best way to do it, and the almost logical approach, especially with the way the divisions are going to be this year and whatnot. I did want to shift and ask you a question, though. I mean, this is kind of being a Pirate fan question, but how do you feel about this season? I mean, obviously, you know, you just mentioned that you'd like for them to contend, but do you almost look at this as a way for the new GM, Ben Cherington, and I kind of forget the new manager's name. Sheldon?
Derek Shelton.
Derek Shelton, okay. Do you kind of feel like this is almost like a 60-game advanced spring training where they can almost see what they have in the like on their team in general, just to like, you know, kind of build for the future? Because in reality, I mean, yeah, it'd be nice if they made a run for your sake. But, you know, realistically, I honestly don't think that would be a thing. So it's kind of like just getting a very good look at what you have for the future, where you need to address needs and whatnot, so on and so forth.
So, I mean, I think they're in a very tough position, too, because you don't have Jameson Taillon this year and mm-hmm. going into a contract year. You don't have Chris Archer, who has a team option, who will probably be let go because you either eat $250,000 or pay the man $11 million. Your choice. And then Josh Bell is also the question mark there as well. I think he can be the one that you can build the franchise around if you give him the right money. And then you can kind of view what you have and go from there. So I think, I mean, of those big three, and I use big three with Archer there, like very loosely. Josh Bell needs to be the one that needs to be retained for sure. But yeah, this should be basically a freebie year. Like they weren't required to make the playoffs going into this year, and they damn sure aren't expected to make it even with a shorter season like this. So yeah, I mean, I would say that this is the time for them to really take advantage. And this is like any team that has been getting a whole kind of had a new overhaul front office and managers and everything else like that, where it's their time to kind of look at their team and see what they can really build around.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I was listening to the radio a little bit today and they were talking, you know, about this all getting approved and everything. And I think so many people were prepared to not have baseball at all, myself included. So it's almost like, okay, you got a gift of 60 plus games, 60 plus playoffs, to just kind of, you know, enjoy the sport. I mean, obviously you do have teams that are legit contenders that, you know, are someone's going to win the World Series this year. I don't think I personally will look at it as being a legit title. I think I'll always look back at 2020 as the COVID greed year. At the same time, you know, I do think for a lot of teams, it's kind of just like an experimental, here's what we have, you know, so on and so forth. Just wanted to get your take on that.
Well, it's still going to be a championship for someone. I don't think there's a way to take that away from one of these teams, because there's still a season put in play and they're still the last one remaining when it comes to the playoffs. They're not just kind of given the title during a regular season. So, I mean, although it's not going to be viewed as the same type of marathon, I still don't think you can take that notion away from them that they did win the title that year. I mean, when it came to the NBA having their lockout season back in 11-12, and the Miami Heat won the championship, which was also LeBron James's first championship, is that, and should that be marked as an asterisk because there wasn't a full regular season going into the playoffs?
I mean, I kind of say yes. That's kind of how I fall on it. Any untraditional season, to me, should kind of be asterisk. And I guess I look at it from this perspective. I think if you see a contending team like, say, the Dodgers or the Yankees or one of these big market teams that are almost expected to make a run for it and they win, I find it, and I'm saying in general, not just my opinion, I find it harder to kind of say it was tainted just because you would almost think they'd be there. But if you see some off-the-wall team, like you were saying, the Mariners and the Marlins playing for it, I mean, obviously I think that's good for the sport, but I think looking back, you know, it'll be like a one-hit wonder in a sense where it was like, oh, it was that year. You know what I mean? They just got hot. And yeah, it's a legit title for sure. And I mean, they are going to crown a champion. I guess I look at it with a different perspective, being that, you know, if it's not one of those big marquee teams, it's almost like I feel like that team would get lucky, at least referring to the history books looking back on it.
Oh, yeah. Whenever you look at the history books, I think there needs to be some notation of what had happened that year. But I don't think, essentially, like, you're not saying the title shouldn't count.
You're no, not at all. I'm just going to look at it from a skewed perspective almost.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the Chicago won in 2013, like the same or the year after the NBA lockout. Chicago won that year for two titles out of 4 years. Not that I don't think that they were given an advantage with the shorter season, but I mean, it's also something to notate. So yeah, I get what you're saying there. I kind of agree. But I think with the same sense, it's still a season. I just think with baseball, with how much shorter the season usually is, minus 102 games, it is going to be very different to see how it unravels. So before we stay on this for much longer, because I want to get into another aspect of this, did either party win between the owners and the players' union after all of this?
I think you know a little bit more about the labor dispute itself. I look at it almost, I think the players got pinched a little bit, but in the grand scheme of things, and this might be the PR cliche statement, but I feel like both sides definitely lost just because of how awful they made baseball look during these whole negotiations with everything going public and the bitterness between them and the Twitter stuff back and forth and explaining the deals and whatnot. And I mean, I'm sure there's actual, you know, like you're going to present a side here, whether it be owners or players, but just, I think the sport lost in general, and you can elaborate on, you know, the individual things going on with each side.
I mean, I would say that the players win because they're actually getting their prorated salaries. So for however much they play, they're still getting paid, whether or not fans are in the stadium or not, and they're not going to be in the stadium. So there goes the owner's way of making money. And they're also getting a decent portion of that playoff revenue money come playoff time. So whenever they have all the big deals with TBS and Fox Sports and all that, it usually gives them a pretty decent paycheck in there. So, you know, barring any second outbreak, the player should come out victorious this season. We'll just see how much it sets them up for the future. That's the only thing that should be worrisome for the players union.
That makes sense. Yeah, I guess I don't really know the back end, you know, owners and players sides aside from what I see on Twitter. And you know, did you happen to see the argument today between Aubrey Huff and Trevor Bauer by chance?
No, I did not.
That was some comedic gold. It was essentially Aubrey Huff calling Trevor Bauer kind of a scrub, and he was just going back at him with his fancy stats and analytics, and Aubrey Huff being Aubrey Huff was not having that, and it just kept going. Sorry, I just wanted to mention that because it was really funny.
I know, that's fine. You're full of plugs today.
I mean, it was definitely caught my eye, and it was honestly, it lasted a good amount of time, so if anyone wants to invest 10 minutes of their life, go check out at Bauer Outage on Twitter. Read it.
All right. So let's kind of shift it over to the fantasy perspective, which I know you're kind of a guru of.
Guru.
Because, I mean, what? You've won how many league titles in this?
Let's see. How many? I would say three, a combined three with all the leagues that I'm in. So in reality, it's a really piss poor number, but I will gloat and no one needs to know how many leagues I'm in.
All right, you can keep that hush hush. I mean, we only know about the one league that you're in with the draft that we covered when, you know, our old pal Jeff used to do the show with us. And I just want to see what your thoughts are going to be, because we just mentioned earlier how managers are probably going to have a much different approach to each game. And what's your managerial sense going to be when it comes to managing the players and the DL or the IL, whatever list it's called. I can't remember anymore. And how's it going to be to, you know, sign the undraft, the free agents? Like, take me into the thoughts of you now scrambling for a fantasy baseball season.
So I guess what I'm really concerned about, and I think the league that you guys helped me in, is I'm going to talk about relief pitching real quick. I have Raciel Iglesias, Julio Urias, Mark Melanson. Oh, and Taylor Rogers. So I guess my thoughts on this is, with 60 games, and I think they said, what, 66 days or something like that. It's an unreal amount of time. I almost feel like closers won't have any value this year. It's almost like I feel like I wasted some – I won't say top picks because obviously you never take a closer that high, but I feel like I definitely burned a couple picks that I could have made up with position players having taken these relief pitchers, because obviously in that stretch of time, I think it'll be saves by community and not a constant closer, if that makes sense.
Right, and I think a lot of people are saying that, where, you know, the closers might not be as valuable, where like the middle relievers are going to have a lot more value this season, with how many games they have in a condensed amount of time, not too many days off, and you're not going to have the closer out there almost every time. You're going to have those middle relievers going out there, maybe pumping out more than an inning in each game and kind of showing their true colors this year. So it might be the year of the middle reliever, just like how it is the year of the kicker in the NFL. So it's going to be a strange one.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that. And then another thing I was thinking about is being that every game is pivotal in the race for the playoffs now, I'm wondering if players that usually take these quote-unquote maintenance days and or, you know, they're a little banged up, like won't start or, you know, will get a day off, I'm curious if that'll, you know, force them into the lineup more, whether that be good or bad. I'm curious if, you know, some of these guys that frequently get banged up, Trey Turner, I know, has had a few injuries. Jordan Alvarez seemed to have a few last year. I'm just looking at my roster right now. Aaron Judge, I think he's still actually hurt and recovering from something. I'm curious if these little aches and pains will, you know, if they'll be in the lineup more because, like I said, every game matters more.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more players play through pain, with especially not even starting the season yet. It's not like the MLB started their season and then took a hiatus because of the pandemic. You're going to see a lot more players play through injuries, I think, and either, you know, make the injury more devastating or just play through the pain, and eventually you kind of heal up from that. Yeah, Trey Turner's got to be someone that you are, I would say, more excited for with a shortened season, that maybe they don't start him every game, but they at least put him in the lineup later on in the game. So, I mean, if you have a travel day within your region on an afternoon that, you know, Trey Turner might not make the start, but depending on the situation, he could easily come back in and help you out with some help there at the plate. So I think that's a positive.
Yeah, I think honestly, from a fantasy baseball perspective, this year is just going to feel very weird. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, like, you almost didn't think there was going to be a season. You were almost looking at a refund for your league and, you know, like, oh, I drafted this team for nothing. This sucks. And now it's kind of like, okay, like, at least for me, when it came to baseball, half empty kind of guy, I wasn't really expecting them to play this year. So it's kind of cool that you can actually see this team work out after you've had so many doubts about them playing, and hell, even the team in general, if you're me. But I really think that, and I say this now, I'm not going to be mad with whatever transpires just because of how different this year is going to feel, what the different managerial styles, how players are going to get hot and cold, whatnot. So, and it's going to change way more than any other normal season would feel like. So I think it's just going to be fun to watch. And, you know, I'm just kind of along for the ride on this one.
Yeah. I mean, that's really all you can do. I mean, you're in it for the ultimate prize though, but at the same time, it's like, all right, let's just chill and see what happens.
100%. And like I said, I wasn't even expecting them to play. So, you know, it's a bonus that they're actually going to do it. So while I will absolutely be mad if I don't win it all this year, like just being able to, you know, sit somewhere and watch baseball and be like, oh, I have that guy on my team. Like it'll be exciting again.
If you don't win, we'll put an asterisk on that person's title.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to shift gears or anything, but that's exactly how I feel about the Penguins this year. If the Penguins don't win this, how they're doing the playoff format now, like I just asterisk the season already.
But if they do, it's fine.
Yeah, 100%. That's the most fair playoff format you can ever imagine.
Yeah, I still have a $3 bet through FanDuel Sportsbook. So.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
All right, but I think that's enough baseball talk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm good. I think a lot of it will be. I think our conversations will ramp up next week, whenever they report to training camp. I believe what's that, July 1st?
Yeah, July 1st.
Yeah, no, that'll definitely be something to talk about. But you know, just in the grand scheme of things, I guess for this day, I'm happy it's back.
So let's kind of jump into a little bit of the NHL. They are, I guess you could say this is phase two of what they're going through right now. And they're trying to pick their hub city so that they can go into phase three, where it looked like, I guess, 8 cities were still in the mix. What was it? Monday, Columbus was not crossed off the list. And then today, being Tuesday, both Dallas and Pittsburgh were cut from the list. So very sad face from us. The big hitters, who I think are Chicago, Vegas, and another city's losing my thoughts in the U.S. of the big hitters for the hub city for L.A. Okay. So you have those three still in the mix for the U.S. And it's Edmonton, Toronto, and not Calgary. I don't Vancouver. Think so. Vancouver? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So we have those three up north in Canada. So if we were to just take random guesses, unless you actually have a nice approach towards this, who do you think the hub cities will be?
Honestly, I don't really have a methodical approach to this. I'm trying to think. I think after years, I'm trying to think how the NHL would think. And that involves a lot of not knowing how to think, really. But
they would just throw a dart at the board and see where it lands.
Yeah, exactly. So to be honest with you, I definitely think Vegas is going to be one. I know the city is still recovering, as are any city really, from Corona. But, you know, just the appeal that Vegas has and the proximity to, you know, everything that you can do out there and the places. I mean, I understand the self-quarantine, but I think a lot of it just is the thrill of being, quote-unquote, in Vegas. I think the NHL is really drawn to that ever since they added the Knights a few years back. So I think Vegas has that appeal. The only reason why I could see it being Chicago is for the original six factor. LA doesn't really intrigue me for a U.S. hub. I just, you know, I'm not one of those hockey doesn't belong in California. I just don't think it's a good fit. And I don't know, nothing really appeals to me about hockey in Los Angeles anyway. In regards to the West, or in regards to the second hub, between the Canadian cities, Edmonton, Toronto, and Vancouver. I realistically think it'll be Toronto. I know the Prime Minister said that hockey players upon returning to Canada do not need to self-quarantine for 14 days. So that bodes well for any of these Canadian cities. I would probably rank Vancouver second behind Toronto and Edmonton third. I don't really have a reason for that. I would just think that from an appeal standpoint, and I don't want to ever link McDavid to the reason they would have a hub city, but I just feel like Edmonton's more talked about and more prominent at the moment because of the Oilers and Dreisaitl, McDavid. And I just feel like Vancouver's a really far trip travel for even just going out there. So I don't really think that's a likely place. So if I had to pick between two, I would say it would be Las Vegas and Toronto.
Okay. I mean, for up north, from what I've been hearing is that the virus has been far more contained in Edmonton between the two other cities, and having what I believe was a recently built stadium in Edmonton is another draw towards them, where they'll actually have a very good facility if it was just recently built. And I think Edmonton has also proposed, like, they can have like private golf in some areas, and I think even like shows during the night when they're just trying to find some time to hang out. So just this is between listening to sports talk and just reading what I see on the interwebs. I think Edmonton will be the one city, which kind of pains me to say because of Edmonton. I think what you said about Vegas is also going to be true with them becoming the hub city. I mean, with the Golden Knights being there, you have kind of like the luxurious hotels that these guys can stay at. Mm-hmm. You have that draw there. And I don't know much about how the virus is going on there. I think you touched on it a little bit. But I think it's somewhere where the NHL wants that new vision, or wants that new hockey town to be. Not that they want Vegas to be the hockey town. It's that they're just trying to get more of that atmosphere down there. And if you've been down there since Vegas Golden Knights have been introduced to the NHL, you see a lot more people be excited about hockey. I wore a Pittsburgh Penguins Mark Andre Fleury jersey, and I couldn't tell you how many people were like saying, yelling, "Hey, Fleury!"
That's awesome.
But I think the only reason I'm upset about that, and that's if Edmonton gets picked, is that you have everything on that West Coast for these two hub cities. So you're going to have a lot of these teams travel from east to west. And not that I think it's not going to be a home ice advantage. I just think to kind of have those two hub cities in one geographical time zone in between Canada and the States is kind of a disadvantage when it comes to a lot of these teams like traveling across the land. I may have just disregarded everything I said about, you know, it's not because of this, but it is because of this. But I think that would be the only bad thing if it were to be both of those cities.
It also kind of worries me from a fan perspective, having both hub cities in the same time zone / even similar time zone, because I feel like knowing the NHL and how piss poor they are with viewership and the airing of games, like you're going to find like some 1 p.m. Wednesday game or like some 4 o'clock Wednesday game. Like they're just not going to be prime viewing hours for everyone to see. And I understand that'll happen, but if you have two hub cities in that same time zone, I just think that a lot of the games will be harder to watch for a fan perspective. I mean, obviously, you will still probably have to watch a couple of those anyway, especially as they go through that play-in round. But I worry about them both being in that, to, you know, kind of turning off some viewers just based on availability and whatnot.
Right, and I think there's going to be a lot more combined scheduling. So a lot more games happening, not at the same time, but with an hour difference between the two. I think that's what we're going to see. And then when you get in between the breaks of one game finishing and the other game's getting on there to start to get it going. You know, with me kind of explaining myself there, that brings up another question. Are teams going to enjoy to be the first team on the ice playing against each other that day? Are they going to enjoy it to be later on?
That's a good question. I honestly would think, I mean, here's the thing. I think all that goes out the window when you realize there's not going to be fans anyway, because I think a lot of players
I'm just thinking about the ice in general.
Oh, I would think you'd want to be first, honestly. I think you'd want to be the first team, kind of have an earlier game where it's not as hot out, or especially if it's, you know, out west, one of those, you know, places where the ice can get bad. But just in general for ice quality, I'd prefer to be an earlier team as opposed to a later team.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that a lot of teams are going to be happier with having the first game of the day, and then they're going to have to try to schedule around that and try to get other teams maybe to play earlier games just to try to keep it fair. But we'll see, because this can be a huge success or a huge disaster for the NHL. And, you know, we're hoping for a huge success, but we'll see.
Knowing the NHL, there is unlimited potential here. Will they take advantage of it? That remains to be seen.
So, do we have anything else going on that you can think of?
I really don't think so. I mean, it's, you know, I think a lot of where we're at now with sports is just waiting for, obviously now we can say spring training, but, you know, waiting for hockey to, you know, the schedules to come out, everything kind of to progress. The NHL did progress to 12 player workouts today, apparently, or yesterday. So instead of it being six players on the ice, they're now Yeah, because I saw a lot of people be like, oh, that what can go wrong there? But, you know, I think honestly, and maybe this is something we can touch on real briefly because it's going to happen. Two Pittsburgh Steelers apparently tested positive for COVID earlier in the spring. But I was going to bring this up since we just kind of discussed this, is you're going to see positive tests come through. You know, obviously, you've seen some major league camps shut down, and I think even the Tampa Bay Lightning shut their camp down for a couple of days. How do you see sports progressing through this? Because while, you know, we might mitigate the virus and the risk of everything happening, I still think cases are going to come up, and I don't think it's worth shutting down the entire league and any progress that you've made.
Right. I think with everything that the world has seen with how to contain the virus, it's not where you have to shut everything down like it was before, because at the time we were pretty unknown to how this would all happen. If one person were to have caught the disease, you look at the day when the Jazz and Thunder were about ready to tip off, and then all of a sudden they just canceled tip off because of the diagnosis with Rudy Gobert getting COVID-19. You don't know how to react to it. You just kind of shut it down and you view it. Now that we've had months to view this, and we're still going to get cases, but I think there's a way to kind of mitigate those cases. I mean, if you want to quarantine someone, and by the way, quarantine means to, you know, block off the sick, not block off everyone. So, when you do quarantine, you're going to have that one person just sectioned off to themselves. How they're going to do that, I'm not sure, but I think it's not worth shutting everything down again. We're seeing more cases pop up with MLB players and NHL players. I mean, Austin Matthews was the most high-profile name, I think, in hockey to have been announced to have it. So, I mean, there's still going to be those cases. With that, you're still going to be able to build the antibodies after you recover from it. So I don't think it's worth shutting down if more players are diagnosed with it. It can still happen, and you just kind of move on.
I agree 100%.
So, all right. I'm glad that at the end we can all agree with each other.
Everybody love everybody.
ELE, baby. So, ELE. MVP of the week. Are you good to go, or do you need me to step in?
Yeah, no, I'll do it. I'm going to give, honestly, with it being Father's Day, I'm probably a week behind on this, but, you know, since we had a good quality Father's Day time on Sunday, I'm going to give shouts to my dad. He's always been a special person in my life, and it was a nice way to cook out, have a couple beers, and just discuss life again. So definitely probably the last one I'll do before it gets actually sports related, but just touching on what a great Father's Day I had and how fun it was to be around. And just needed to share that.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see my dad for a little bit before my softball game. And then afterward, my brother brought over our gift. We had pitched in for a pressure washer that we got for him. So he was real excited for that and ultimate spraying that around the yard, just testing it out. What was that?
I said ultimate dad gift, by the way. Shouts to you guys.
Oh, for sure. Thank you. We know how to think like the dad, even though we aren't one. I mean, definitely got to give it to him. Happy Father's Day. He's been amazing all my life, and I don't think that's going to change. But if I did want to give it to someone in sports, Zach, on this day back in 2003, Barry Bonds became the only member of the 500-500 career club, where it's 500 home runs hit and 500 stolen bases.
Love it. Speaking of that, I just want to give a quick shout out. This isn't really directed to anyone, but since we talked about the Maguire Sosa documentary, I actually ended up buying ESPN Plus. I think I may have briefly mentioned that to you, but I was going to start watching some 1980 Miracle on Ice. I think it's an ESPN 30 for 30. So I just wanted to let all of our listeners know that because that Maguire Sosa documentary, apparently I couldn't watch it through my cable provider. And it was like, oh, well, you need ESPN Plus to watch it. Me, I'm a simp. So I bought it. And I didn't just buy the month. I bought the year. So here we are.
My man, you go all on board. We'll see if that renews next year, though.
Oh, wait, I'll forget about it. It'll be on auto renew. So, yes, everyone, I've already renewed for next year.
Oh, ESPN's thanking you already, and so is Disney. This is the Icy Takes podcast, and, you know, we hope you have been enjoying listening to us. You know, we're minus one person, so hopefully Jeff can come back and give us some back rubs, and then he can do most of the talking next week. You can follow us on Facebook at Icy Takes with Zach, Jeff, and Big Dave. Follow us on Twitter at Icy Takes, altogether one word, I-C-E-Y, because that's the way we like to spell it. Follow us on Twitter, on the personals, at Big_Dave52.
At ZachMorris82.
And for Jeff, at JChris_51, like our Lord and Savior. Amen. We hope you enjoyed the show. Hopefully we didn't go too off the rails. I think we were able to stay right on track there until the end. But we hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope to see you next week. But until then, stay icy. So let me see. They try to shut me down on MTV, but it feels so empty.